Well, good evening, everyone. This is a little different, huh? Tonight, I want you to imagine you're sitting in an extended living room here, and Andrew's cutting across the TV screen. No, nothing like that. But we hope tonight to have just an informative time, a casual but informative time as we speak to our brother Santiago. So I thought I'd start with just maybe a couple of just general questions and personal questions for you. Firstly, how long have you been in California?
We've been here for almost 6 years. We arrived in LA in 2015 without Santi, just my wife and I, and that's the year we came here to the States to start the seminary.
Great.
So almost 6 years.
6 years. Okay. So you've hung out in California most of that time. What's your favorite place in California?
My favorite place in California, I think, Grace Community Church.
See, I knew he'd answer that. Outside of the church, is there anywhere else you really like to take your family and go and just?
Yeah, there are some cabins that are near to LA. There are some people of the church that have some cabins that they share with the seminary students. So those places are really nice. Can you hear me now with this one?
No.
Okay, I'm gonna continue.
That's all right.
So those cabins are a really nice place in Big Bear Mountain and Lake Arrowhead. So
right.
They're a nice place to have rest with family. So yeah, the snow in the winter and good sometime in summer. So I like those places. And actually, I love this part of the state, especially. I'm not saying this because they are here, but I love Juan and Barbara's house. We've been friends for the last probably 5 years.
That was Juan and Barbara, by the way.
So it's real that one of the places that we love in this state is Juan and Barbara House, because they have like a mini hotel for us. They are so lovely, and we really love that family and that place. So, yeah.
Great. Well, you know, California is known for its many restaurants, and particularly the Central Valley, where you've been most of this time. What's your favorite restaurant?
I love wings.
Ah.
So there is a restaurant called...
You got some other people out here like wings too.
There's a place called Wingstop. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Woo! All right.
So those are my people. So we love Wingstop, and the good news is that we have Wingstop in Colombia. So
you guys coming? We're gonna go? Yeah. Okay. We'll book you. We'll call it Wingstop Colombia.
Yeah. So we love wings and pizza and all that stuff.
Good.
Food trucks are good.
Yeah. There you go. So how long have you been married to Juliana?
We're going to have 7 years. Actually, this March, we're going to...
Good man.
22,
what's
the date?
22 of
March. put him on the spot. Great. That's fantastic.
Biblical church where I grew up, but... Even in that place where there is not like sound doctrine, we receive Bible, and the Bible is so powerful that even a small amount of Bible can work in. Again? It's working now? Yeah. That's good. So in that environment, I grew up hearing the Bible, and for all my life, and for the context that where I've been part, in that kind of churches, they tell you that you are a believer if you repeat a prayer. So I remember that I repeat the prayer like 1,000 times, thinking that like I'm gonna make sure that I did it well, and I repeat and repeat and repeat all my life. And I always tell the people that I was a Christian, but but I was not. When I was in the school and then in the college and all that, and giving a bad testimony but telling everyone that I'm a Christian, that's one of the things that make me like pain in my life, to say other people that I'm a Christian, but my testimony at that time was so bad. But that's the normal thing in that kind of churches. There are many unbelievers that think they are believers because they just repeat a prayer. But even in those places, I heard the Bible and all that. And I remember that in the university time, in my finishing the university, I started struggling with a lot of things in my life, a lot of sin. And I remember one day walking, and I saw the church where my mom attended at that time, and I entered. I said, like, maybe I need to pray. So I entered, and in that church was one of the youth leaders, and he started talking to me about the gospel, and he started like discipling me. Mm-hmm. And after the years, that man started studying at TMS. So he invited me to start studying with him in online first, and like the process then continue. So at that time, I remember one day that I started reading the New Testament, and then I realized like I cannot continue in this path of life, like what with one step on the world and one step on the church. And I remember one day that I see all my sins and say, like, if I continue in this way, I'm going to go to hell because I cannot mock God anymore. And it was so real. And at the same time, I remember that I start thinking, but I don't need to go to hell because there is the grace of God, that Jesus Christ died on the cross. So I don't remember, like, the exact day, but I remember the season where the Lord is working on my heart, and he start changing me, and yeah, did a work on my life. And after that, something that is so important is that probably 1 year after that, I start studying in an institute that Grace have online. Okay. Is the Expositors Institute. Mm-hmm. So I think that developed my maturity. Like I was born again, but I need the doctrine to grow and to even to have models of what a godly man is, and that happened online.
Yeah.
So awesome. Yeah.
And was that institute in Spanish?
In Spanish.
Spanish. Yeah.
There is a man called Josiah Grauman. Mm-hmm. So he directed that study at that time. He's my mentor, and I learned a lot of him, by him, and he was a teacher at that time in the institute. He gave all the classes at that time, all theology classes, all New Testament, Old Testament, everything with Josiah. I took all those classes with him online, and then the opportunity to come to TMS up here.
Okay. Right. Great.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure everybody's caught up and tracking here. So Santiago, he got saved in, you're from Cali, Colombia, correct?
No.
You're not from Cali?
No. Medellin?
Okay, I'll keep it there. I won't try to repeat it.
So I was born in Medellin, but I live all my life in Bogota. That is the capital of the country.
Bogota.
And I'm going to do missions in Cali.
Okay.
So three different cities in
Colombia. Okay,
Colombia.
Okay. So very good. So where I was going with that was you're born in Colombia. You came to LA, Grace Community Church, your favorite place on earth. You're trained in the seminary, been there 6 years, mm-hmm. I guess we said. Mm-hmm. So where are you going now, and what are you going to be doing?
Okay. So the plan is to return to Colombia, but we are going to Cali. Cali is one of the three main cities in the country. With Cali have 4 million people. So that's one of the the big cities in the country, really industrial, a lot of sports there, and it's one of the most important cities in the country. And before I came here to the seminary, I've been doing some kind of missions 1 year in the universities with college students. So some of the people that are now part of the group that we are gonna be in Cali with them to plant the church are couples that are part of the group in the universities like 6 years ago, and at that time they were singles, and now some of them are couples that married, and now they are gonna be part of the church plant now. So yeah, it's nice, and I love the ministry in universities. I think that's one of the main points where a church can do evangelism if there are universities around. And yeah, it's a key age for men and women. So I hope we can do that again with other people focused doing evangelism in universities there.
Yeah, what I like about your story is you came from Colombia and you're going to go back there.
Yeah.
So it's you already know the language, and you already know what you want to do. So really, maybe church planter might be a primary title for you. Missions, yes, but you're going back to where you're where you've been before, and so you don't need to study the language for years in order to effectively minister. It's already right there.
Yeah, one joke that I make like every time that I'm presenting the project and talking in English church is that the people start thinking how this guy's gonna preach if he cannot even tell his testimony. Yeah. But the good news is that I'm gonna preach in Spanish. So I hope that's gonna be better. But so yeah, I think that is there are advantages in being national to. Like, you know how the culture works, you know the language, and it's not real that everyone there is going to come here to the States to get the training in the seminary. But now we with the knowledge that we get here, that we go here, now we can go there and train men so they can be church planters around the country. That's our prayer.
Cool. That's wonderful. And on a personal note, so how far will you be when you're in Cali from your nearest family members?
10 hours by car.
Right. So some distance. Yeah. Okay. Good.
So I'm curious, just thinking this through, Santiago. I think all of us in the Christian life, we want to know what is God's will for our lives, right? We want to know God's will. We find God's will in the scriptures, but He also has individual plans for each of us. So you mentioned you were born again, you were discipled, you did online studies there. When did it become clear to you that God intended for you to leave your country, get trained, to return, and do pastoral ministry? I think we all have that question, but especially some of the younger folks, high school, college age, it's like the world's wide open, and you just want to know, what do I do? So just give us your experience, your understanding of God's intention for you, how you knew that.
Yeah, so at that time when I was born again and I started developing convictions for Jesus Christ and the Bible, I started realizing if the gospel is true and this is the message that saves people and take out people from the darkness to the light, from hell to heaven. I say, like, I want to invest my life doing this and preaching this message to everyone. And was so clear, and I say, like, I don't want to do anything else. And I remember one day that at the time that I was thinking, if the Lord is calling me to ministry, I asked one pastor and asked him how I can be sure or really clear that I'm called to ministry. And he asked, like, you can do other thing? He asked me that, like, you can do other thing in the world? And I started thinking, oh, that's a good way to see it. That's true, I cannot do other thing. Right. That's what I realized at that time, that the Lord created me to preach the word of God. And so was clear and that passion developed with the training. So, and to answer the question of how to know the will of God, and I think that I never, after I've been saved by the Lord, I never had like, oh, this is my dream, and that's what I want to do, and this is the city that I want to serve. Never, nothing of that. It's just like, okay, Lord, here is my life. Do whatever you want with me and my wife. And that's the reason I asked her before I married, look, this is what I'm asking to the Lord. Do whatever you want with my life, and you want to come with me in this plan? That is, and I love that. And I love that the Lord just, like, drive my life. I don't, before I decide to go into Cali, it's not like, Cali is the city I need to go. No, I'm just praying, God, send me whatever you want. Even you want me to serve here in the States, show me that's what you want. I know that there is a lot of Spanish speaking people here and have a huge need. I've been contacted by a church in Bakersfield that have 100 people in the Spanish ministry without a pastor. And they start inviting me to preach there, and the pastors in the English side start inviting me to have breakfast and start knowing me, and I started realizing, oh, I know what is going.
He's wooing you in.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I start thinking at that time, I said, this is a good opportunity, and looks good, but at the same time, and something for you to know, I think that the Lord is doing a reformation in Latin America right now. Mm. So we never received the doctrines of the Reformation ever. And I think that is happening now. So when I start thinking that, oh, this option in the Bakersfield and being part of the Reformation in Latin America, I said, I want to be part of what the Lord is doing there. So that's the way I start deciding to go to Colombia. Then I go there and preach in like 5 cities in Colombia. And after that, I see, oh, the huge need, or where I saw the Lord is showing more people that are contacting me, or... And that's it. Not something mysterious or like an angel talking to me. Or it's just praying.
That sells, you know. That sells. Yeah.
Can I ask you just to explain a little bit more what you mean by there's a reformation taking place right now in Latin America? I think we'd all love to hear about that.
So when there is something interesting when you see the countries that been influenced by evangelical in their like their missions or their foundations, like United States, you see like a development of the country, a development of the church. And I know that now probably the United States is going other way in the evangelical side, but there are foundations from the Word of God that impact a nation. Because I see the country, I see United States, and I see Colombia, and I see pretty much the same thing, like the resources, and I start asking why it's so different, why United States is so developed, and why Latin America is so in back and always. And I think one of the main reasons is that we receive Catholic missionaries in the past. Mm. And that makes a huge difference. Mm. Like, I saw that the missionaries that came here came with a mind of like establish their cities, their towns, and work for the glory of God. And that mindset of the Reformation, that is that everything that you do it for the glory of God. And that make a huge impact in every area of the lives of the people. But in the other place, the missionaries are the people that came from Spain, from the Catholicism to Colombia and all the countries in Latin America. They came with the mind that what we can take here, what we can rob and come back, return to Spain. And that mentality is still in our countries. It's not a mentality of how we can develop, we have these resources, develop this, but how we can take advantage of this little thing, and that not help, and that not let the country to be more developed. Mm. So that's one of the things. We never receive the sound doctrine. First, the gospel, the pure gospel that is just, you just can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ, but you have a lot of mixed messages of how a person can be saved. And we receive in the past a lot of missionaries, but never like biblical missionaries in all the sense. And I'm talking like, I'm not saying that the Reformation is coming this year, but I think that probably past 10 years, 5 years, everything is start happening and in Latin America. Mm. So they are starting more ministries with sound doctrine, church plants that are really biblical churches, the start of seminaries to train pastors. So is happening
new.
Now.
This is all new.
Yeah, this is all new.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had, we were talking the other night, last night, about just culturally how Colombia was, like not so far ago, you know, that it was kind of driven by and controlled by the cartels, the drug lords. And I was sharing with you how I had a friend who actually got saved on a bus in Colombia after they got shot at a roadblock, and he realized that his life could have been taken. And it's really neat to know that even in a place that was at that point in stage under the drug lords of that that time, we're probably going back 30 something years now, but this guy got saved because there were Christians in Colombia, and they asked the right questions and they opened the scriptures and called him to walk and to have faith in Christ. But what's changed, like you talked about last night, about how that drug world or that control of drug lords has kind of been changed. Can you explain a little bit of that cultural change and how do you see that assisting and maybe even opening up doors for the gospel?
Yeah. I think that the drugs business in the world is something that continue. If there is people that consume the drug, the business is gonna continue, and that make a lot of money for the illegal business there. But we had in the past decades, especially one leader in the country that really like put in order many things in the country. Probably he don't do everything well. He's not a believer, so he may make a lot of things that was not good. But he put in order many things, so that
he upheld law and orders.
Yeah, yeah. Law and orders, everything more like in the law. Mm. So that changed a lot of the country and opened the doors for like at least you can move through the country. In the past you are afraid to go outside your town or even your house at some season, but now that's not the case in Colombia. It's more open, and I know that there are some parts of the country where more. There are Christians that are being attacked by the guerrillas, left guerrillas, and I don't have too much contact with that kind of ministries now, but that's one of my plans, to start seeing where are those pastors and how we can help them with their training, with resources, books, and see what is happening. That's not in the main cities, but more like in the jungles and all that, so that's one of my plans, to start seeing where are those men and see if should be faithful men there. Right. So mm-hmm. just get in touch with them and see if we can be part of their training and help them in any way. So, because I see there are some open doors ministry that they look where are the more difficult places to do ministry. And when I see that magazine, I see like Colombia is one of those because it's dangerous. But it's some areas in the country.
Right.
I want to be in contact with the people and see how we can develop their training for those pastors, if the Lord allows.
Yeah, I know we're all excited about and desirous to hear about kind of what your plans are in terms of unfolding that, and maybe we'll get to that here in a minute. But you came to TMS, you saw the need to be trained. Mm-hmm. How, as you think about the training at the Master's Seminary, How do you think that has prepared you? How would you see that having prepared you for the ministry you're about to go into? What were some of the main things that stood out as you went through that training at the Master Seminary?
I think the main thing is like the conviction of or the convictions that I had at the beginning that this book is the Word of God that grow in a huge way, and that's the main thing. I remember in one class, Dr. Alex Montoya, he said, "You need to take your Bible, go in your room alone, and make a commitment with the Bible and with the Lord that you are gonna preach this as the Word of God." And that impacted me a lot, and I said, "I'm gonna do that, and I wanna Lord help me to be faithful." So I think the high view of the Scripture, the high view of God, and especially I think that the philosophy of ministry and the hermeneutics that we have, the hermeneutics that we develop, like studying the text in its grammatical and historical context, and not forcing the text just to fit in your theological box, but actually seeing what the text said and present it to the people, because we don't have any authority. As pastors, as missionaries, we don't have any authority outside the Bible. So I need to see what really the Bible said to tell the people this is what the Lord is saying, and that's it. So I think that convictions and practicing, doing exegetical and preaching, that's what I appreciate the most, like that convictions that we have of how to interpret and expose the Bible.
Yeah, so I really enjoy maps. Anybody else like maps? I like maps. When I look at a map. Treasure maps, yes. When I was looking at a map one time, and I was noticing that the first country that's connected to Central America, the first country that leads you into South America, you know where I'm going, it's Colombia. And so it seems that Colombia is kind of the gatekeeper. If you want to travel from wherever else in North America through Central, you got to go through Colombia if you're going to do it on land. And if you want to get from way down south and get up to North America, you got to go through Colombia. So I have to imagine that on the one hand, that's been some of the reasons for the drugs and the crime and all that. But I have to also think, when I look at the Apostle Paul, and I think, you know, he went to different locations because they were strategic locations. Like he went to Corinth because people are traveling through both sides. And so there's gospel ministry there as well as Corinth. It's a bad city. So I'm just wondering, within that, you know, Columbia, you kind of talked about your goals. What are your short-term goals for ministry, and what are your long-term goals? And just to be clear, church planting, you've already planted a church, correct? You already have a group there?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about that, and then go to short-term goals and then long-term goals that you've kind of hinted at already.
So there is a group there, around 25 people, most of them families, youth families that want to learn about the Bible. And I don't call them a church now, because there are some elements that need to be there to be a church. They don't even gather on Sundays for that reason, because when I told them we are going to plant a biblical church, we need to do everything biblical. And one of the things that I did is that I talked with a Presbyterian pastor that is there, and I asked them, could you receive this group, some of them that they don't have a church to attend, and I tell them, you during the time that I'm gonna that you are going to wait to me that I go there and plant the church, you need to attend the church. You need to go Sundays and be part of a fellowship of people, worship God. You need to offering. You need to hear the preaching of the word in a real place. And some people think like, I don't know if that's the correct way to plant a church, because maybe they are going
to... By telling them to go to another church.
They are going to become Presbyterian and all that. And I said, no, they need to attend the church because that's the biblical way that, that a Christian should behave. So I talk to the pastor and I say, could you receive some of these people during this process? And I talk to them and I tell them, go to the church and enjoy the preaching. Don't start talking about the obvious things that we disagree with them. Don't create a problem there, but be thankful because they are receiving you there. Mm. And in my mind, I thought, like, if at the end they are gonna stay there, that's what the Lord wants, and that's not my like I cannot retain the people, or that's not my job. But that's the kind of thinking that I have tried to put in their minds of those people. Like, if we are going to plant a biblical church, we need to do everything biblical. Mm. So the plan, when I return next March 31, so it's 1 month from here, the first thing is going to be start a Sunday service so we can gather together, probably a prayer meeting in the middle of the week, and train the key men of that group so they can be the leaders in the future, where they can lead some of the ministries at the church, and just start doing the ministry and doing evangelism in at houses and biblical studies at homes, and developing the leaders at that place. And for the future, the plan is to establish a training center for pastors. So when we have a biblical church that is a model of how a church should be, then we are going to establish a training center so we can train the people there in Colombia, men, so we can send them to establish other churches in the country. And that's our prayer, and I hope you can join us in this prayer that the Lord open doors, that they start bringing faithful men as the ones that Paul command Timothy to train. That we ask you to pray about that, that the Lord start bringing faithful men that want to learn the Bible, that have high convictions about the Bible, and we can train them and then send them through the country and do the work of the ministry, start establishing other churches there. And yeah, wait till the Lord return doing his work.
That's great. I had a discussion just last week, and we were talking with someone about growing a church. How does the church grow? What program do we use? And was the question, or kind of the idea, that there's got to be some kind of program. And as we discussed that, we talked about the sort of life on life, discipleship, finding faithful men, faithful women to invest our lives in. What I'm hearing you say is that this ministry that you're going to do, you don't have like a formal kind of program that you're working out, but you're just going to minister to people and train people and teach them the Word of God and let God grow them and bring them to maturity so that the church will grow. Is that kind of what how you see it happening as you go forward? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Something that was part of my training is not just the Master Seminary, but at the same time, Grace Community Church. So being part of Grace is a huge help, because now I know how a biblical church looks like and works. So I think that each church is so unique and growing in different ways, but at the same time I have like the pattern of how to put the ministries, and so I think that was helpful. Yeah. And to see what the Lord is gonna do with each person, what are the gifts that they have, and try to develop them to do the best that they can to bring glory to God. Mm. Mm-hmm.
You talked about dangers in the country, and obviously there's some difficulties still in Colombia and in terms of how the country functions and works. So as you go back there, what are some of the the difficulties, the challenges, the dangers that you would envision you might face going back and trying to establish a local church that's built on the authority of God's word?
I think one of the challenges that we're going to, I think that we're going to have opposition even for the ones that call themselves evangelicals, because I start thinking what are my main convictions about how a church is, and when I start looking that, I see like, oh, all the people do the opposite thing. So I think that when our message start going growing in the city, I think some of the other people are gonna be opposed, and that's not my plan to be like the one that like create a problem in the city with the churches. No, because I want that some of the pastors in the city can come and be trained. So I don't wanna be like rude by myself or my attitude, but I know that there are some that are going to don't like our message and they're gonna oppose. And in the difficulties in the security and all that, I think every city in Latin America is a little bit dangerous in the sense that you cannot be with your last iPhone just walking around. Probably that's not the wise thing to do. So that kind of things, you need to be like careful with. It sounds strange, but the cell phone stealing is one of the main crimes in Colombia. So just to, my idea is to get like the old cell phone that exists and that's it.
The oldest cell phone that exists?
I want that. I told my wife, we need to find a cell phone that nobody wants. And that's what I don't want that nobody look at me for my cell phone and that's it. But yeah.
Does anyone have a question at all? I got a couple more and we're going to wrap it up here. But has anyone like got a question that you'd like to ask? Yeah. Good question.
No. Please pray for a building. And yeah, we don't have a building. We at the beginning we are gonna gather in a home for the first month. But Cali is so warm, like it's so warm. So I don't know what we're gonna do that first month. But then the plan is to find a place where we can rent, so we can gather together. But yes, please pray for the. I know that the Lord can provide to buy a place. So we can. I see all the campuses here in the churches that I visit. And I always say, oh Lord, if we can have something like this in Colombia, that should be amazing. But I know that the Lord is. He's the owner of the church. He's the one that's gonna give us what we need. But that's a good prayer to have, to a place where we can gather that is safe, in a safe place in the city. That I think a lot of the worship center where we can do the services. But I always thinking in the kids, where so they can have a place where they can enjoy and have good time. That the kids love the church. And so, yeah, please pray for that.
Sam.
Are you fully funded? And are most of your supporting churches in California?
I'm close to get the 100%. And my budget is half is my our personal budget as a family, and half is the church plant budget for like rent a place, buy chairs and sound, everything that. So for the total of the budget that includes the both things, we are I think that 85% now. So we are close to the 100%. What is really, really good.
Because last time you were here it was 10%, I think.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
So,
Tim from for 85 now. Yeah.
Well, we know we can do a couple of things as a church for you. We can pray for you. And so we would encourage you to send us prayer requests. These folks here have come out tonight to hear from you as a missionary, as one who's going to establish a church. And I know that this is a praying church. And so we include in our bulletin every Sunday, we have prayer requests from our missionaries that we support. And I know that's very that's used by a lot of people in this church. So we'd encourage you to send us prayer requests. We also know we can financially support you, and we've chosen to do that and help you. But as you think even beyond that, are there any other ways we as a church can encourage you and support you as you move into this ministry this year?
I think, yeah, prayers are the main thing. And I like that, like the relationship that we are building with you both, because I know that sometimes there I'm gonna have questions, and it's good to call some pastors that have experience as you. So I think that I don't know how it looks like to be like in the missionary field, but I heard that it's good sometimes that when you are in the middle of the ministry and you receive a note for people in that are praying for you and say like, hey, look, we are praying for you and continue doing the ministry and all that. I hear that was good, and I imagine that it should be nice that in the middle of the day that is difficult for any reason there, and you receive a note from people that are actually praying for you. I think that's good. And the other thing is that in the future, I love that this church can send a group of short-term mission. I don't know exactly what ministry we need at that time, but that will be good. Nice. Yeah.
Good. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Has that been informative? Been helpful for us? And I do pray that and trust that we will pray and remember Santiago and the ministry he's about to embark on, along with Juliana. Juliana, do you want to come up here with little Santi? And we're going to do something here a little different. I want us to all stand. So we're all going to stand up. And let's just link hands with this man. And join us. Come on down here. Come across here, guys, family. Come on. I want to come up the stage. Come on, just walking up. Yep, come on up. And we're going to create a circle, and we're just going to kind of link hands here. And we're going to pray for this family and for this ministry. So, well, that's good. It's fun to watch. Fun to watch people organize themselves. And you did well. Yeah. You've really done well. That's great. Hey, well, let's just join together like this and pray. And we'll lift up this family and the ministry that God's chosen to call them to. So let's pray together. Father, as we stand together in Lord, linking arms and hands, as it were, to this family. Lord, we want to lift them up to you and pray for your blessing, Lord, to be upon them in the desires of the ministry that you've placed in their hearts. Father, they desire before you to support and produce and develop a ministry in Cali, Colombia. And Father, they desire to honor you. They desire to lift up your word and to make the gospel of Jesus Christ known. They desire, Father, to establish a church that's not founded on human traditions. It's not founded on, Lord, denominational preferences, but a church like us here at Hickman, a church that's founded on the authority of the word of God and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just want to link arms and hearts here with our dear brother and sister, and we pray for them. We pray you would fund them fully. Lord, we pray that they would have sufficient to not only meet their needs as a family as they devote themselves full time to this ministry, but Father, they would have sufficient to get that building, to find that building that they can rent or to purchase or and to buy the chairs and to get the the sound equipment and the music equipment and all of the things, Lord, that make a church happen. And so we pray that, Father, you would go before them. We pray you would open a wide door of service, of harvest for them. That, Lord, they would be like Paul, who heard the man from Macedonia as they go, that there would be people who would call them and connect with them. And Father, give them wisdom. Give them a sense of Lord, stepping only into those places that, Lord, would honor you and glorify you. Give them protection. Father, put a hedge around them that as they go, they might minister freely, knowing that you have them behind, you have them beside, you have them before, that, Father, you are in the midst of all that they're doing. And, Lord, may they rest in you and trust in you. And give them humility, Father. If you choose to bless them with many people, Lord, give them humility in the midst of that, that, Father, they would point to you as the one who provides all that's required for the growth of a church. We believe you build your church. We believe, Lord Jesus, you came to this earth for this purpose, that there might be a people called out from the world, called out to be a special possession for you, Lord God. And so we pray that we could be a part of that in Cali, Colombia. Bless them as they leave here tomorrow morning and head back to LA. Give them safe travel. And may all that they desire come to fulfillment. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.